Everyone today, especially the visitors. Hope you have a good week planned this Thanksgiving. I just never know when to do the Thanksgiving lesson. You know, should it be before the event or should it be after the event during that weekend? But here it is anyway. You know, a fellow went into the butcher shop late. He forgot about Thanksgiving. And so he went to a place late. And the butcher was locking up as the man got there, and he pounded on the front door. He's desperate. He said, "Please let me in. I forgot to buy a turkey, and my wife is going to kill me if I don't come home with one." "Okay," said the butcher. "Let me see what I have." So he goes back to his freezer, and there's nothing back there but one scrawny old turkey, and he brings it out to show the man. He said, "That one's too skinny. What else have you got?" said the man. The butcher takes the bird back into the freezer. He says, "What I'm going to do?" He waits a few minutes, and he holds the turkey the other way, and he brings out the same bird to the man. "Oh, no," said the man. "That one doesn't look any better. You better give me both of them." You know, God does not shortchange us or give us anything scrawny out there. He doesn't take things away from us or try to fool us in any kind of way. And I know that as we approach into the holiday season, it's very difficult on families, especially families who are out of work, maybe for the second, maybe for the third season. And I think the focus on that, you know, not being able to have a Thanksgiving and a Christmas, you know, and celebrate those holidays in a normal fashion is very, makes a person downtrodden, for lack of better words. You know, but there are some things that we can always be thankful for, no matter what the situation is. This morning, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 103. And we've been kind of looking at the Psalms in our lesson this morning about meditating and meditation and learning to do that. So if you would, we're only going to look at the first 13 verses of it. The psalmist wrote, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my innermost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord's works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed." Verse 7. "He made known His way to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities." Verse 11. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." Now everyone's heard the pilgrim stories and how they got here and established the colonies and everything after that. But one story you may have not really heard much about is that when they landed Plymouth Rock about 300 years ago and knew nothing of the affluent times you and I know today, they had no idea. The kings of the world at that time didn't live as good as some of the people who live in poverty today. The next time we're tempted to complain about inflation, the state of the economy, remember this. During the first long winter at Plymouth Colony, 7 times as many graves were made for the dead as homes for the living. For every house that showed up was built, there were 7 coffins that were built for those that perished. The ship, which would bring food and relief, brought 34 more mouths to feed, but not an ounce of provisions. Not only did they have to deal with less, they had to deal with more people. Touching indeed is a picture of William Brewster, rising from a scanty Plymouth dinner consisting of a plate of clams and a glass of cold water to thank God for the abundance of the sea and the treasures hid in the sand. The pilgrims didn't have much, but they possessed a great gratitude, and it was upon this very thing that America was built that we have today. These stalwart people, strong, devout, and sincere, were the timbers and the foundation upon which the nation of America was built. They had a custom of putting 5 kernels of corn upon each empty plate before a dinner of Thanksgiving was served. Each member of the family would pick up a kernel and tell what they were thankful for. It was to remind them that the first pilgrims were in such dire straits, in such poverty, and had so little. Their allowance per person was only 5 kernels of corn per day, not per meal. As meager as 5 kernels of corn sounds, that was per day. We have many reasons to be thankful for, even in some of the bad times we experience. But let's take 5 of these benefits that we have from the psalm here that we read, using Psalm 103, 1 through 5 as that basis. And think of 5 things to praise God for, no matter what our situation may be. The first thing is forgiveness. Verse 3a talks about who forgives your sins. One day a fellow was visiting a pastor in his parsonage. He picked up a book that was on the stand and began to read. Suddenly he shouted, "Glory! Praise the name of the Lord!" The minister asked, "What's the matter with you?" The visitor replied, "The book says that in certain places, the sea is 5 miles deep." "Yes, that's right," said the minister. What of it?" The visitor answered, "Why, the Bible says that my sins have been cast into the depth of the sea, and if it's that deep, I'm not afraid of their coming up again. The pressure of the water is so great that if the largest battleship could be sunk to that depth, it would be crushed like an eggshell." There's no mistaking it that God forgives us if we want that forgiveness. And all a person has to do is obey Christ and ask for that forgiveness. And God will forsake his sins and wipe those sins away from him. This forgiveness is a promise from our Father, provided for by the sacrifice of Jesus, proclaimed in the Bible, and it's a required practice in the church to forgive those who transgress against us. Because God forgave us for our sins. When Jesus went in to heal the crippled man and said to him, "Your sins are forgiven," what was the hardest thing? That was his question. Jesus said, "What's harder? Forgiving those sins or making this man walk?" Think about it. No matter what the illness is, the greatest thing that we can have is that forgiveness of our sins, so that we can walk with God someday, even if we're unable to walk in this world today. The second thing that we get from these scriptures here is redemption. Verse 4a tells us who redeems your life from the pit. He redeems us from the pit of our sin. The pit where Satan and his followers dwell is where we were. London Times published the prices paid for art objects and all the sales rooms of the world, so people know what things are worth, I guess. If a painting is sold in New York or Paris or Rome or London, the Times gives the full detail of the sale. You can judge the value of the painting by the price paid for it, and we can judge our value by the price that Jesus paid for us, the depth of which he went to redeem us. So you think we're not valuable. So you think God doesn't think about us much. Well, look what he did for each and every one of us. That his son Jesus would leave his throne and place up there with God to come down and die for sins he never committed. To live a life he never put himself up to. He didn't deserve that. You know, we live this life we live because of the sin in the garden. That separation there, that God no longer can have that direct intervention like he did in the Garden of Eden. That's what we seek. That's what each and every one of us is going to have someday if we follow God and go to heaven. And we'll be up there with him. And we'll walk with him once again. But now, we're reaping that which we've sown. The sins of our life have us on this world. So, Jesus came to redeem us from that pit, and someday we'll walk with Him. And we're very valuable to Him. You may think during these times a lot of people get depressed that they're not valuable to anyone. But you and I are valuable to God, and they're valuable to God too. And He wants them to have a relationship with Him. And He's given His Son for that to come. One governor of Texas, Governor Neff, he spoke to the assembled convicts in the penitentiaries of the state. He finished by saying that he would remain to listen if any man wanted to speak with him. Well, when each meeting was over, a large group of men remained, and many of them lifers, people with a life sentence. One by one, they each told the governor that they were there, the result of a frame-up, an injustice, a judicial blunder. Each asked to be freed. Finally, one man came up and said, "Governor, I just want to say that I'm guilty. I did what they sent me here for, but I believe I paid for it. If I were freed, I would do everything I could to be a good citizen and prove myself worthy of your mercy." The governor pardoned this man. Why? Because the man admitted his guilt. So it is with us if we are to be redeemed from this awful sentence that we're under, the sentence of death with Satan and his angels if we don't repent. But there is a difference. We can't say that we paid like that man did for that price. We didn't pay for that. But when we allow Jesus to come into our hearts and obey Him, and when we come out of that watery grave of baptism to walk anew, that new creature, all our sins are forgiven. A full and free pardon is there. It doesn't even stay on our record anymore. It's wiped out. It's expunged, as the lawyers would say. And no more is that record, that blemish on us. But we walk free and pure because of Jesus. Not because of ourselves, but because of that sacrifice. I want to make that clear. The hymn says, Jesus paid it all. The stain of crimson blood, He washed it white as snow. It's all taken away. The Lord not only saves our souls from hell, He also redeems our lives from the clutches of the devil. You know, Satan is bent on causing us to be condemned, on causing us to be destroyed in this life. Oh, he loves it when bad things happen to us, and he laughs, because he's in that same boat and misery loves company. But thanks be to God, who redeems our lives from his power. All one has to do is take a look at the penitentiaries, the sanitariums, the hospitals, halfway houses. They're filled with people whose lives are being destroyed by Satan, whose lives have literally been taken from them. And they walk around empty because of the vices they said they've taken place in. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on that road." When Thanksgiving Day and every day as we give thanks, remember that God could have said, "Well, I'm done with man. He's done enough. I'm not going to go any longer. It's not my place to sacrifice. It's not my place to give it up. But it's man's turn to face the consequences of his sin." But God didn't do that. And I don't care how poor, how sick, or you know what you're going through right now. Just remember, we have brothers and sisters in Africa that are sick, that are crippled, who suffer from mild diseases that we can go to the drugstore and get a cure for. We don't have to go to the doctor, that they're sick and dying from. And yet every day, with as little as they have, with the nothingness of their existence almost, with oppression from the government, oppressing other religions that come upon them, they still seek to praise God and are thankful and happy. Happy than some people who have full bellies every night. And we need to think about that and be thankful. Yes, sometimes the glass is only half. But remember, it's half full, not half empty. And in the end, God is going to fill that glass up to overflowing as He welcomes us in heaven. We praise God today with the psalmist who said, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord, from Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. He lifts us from the dire straits we're in, on a solid rock of confidence with Him, to walk today. So we need to be thankful for His redemptiveness. Also His healing. Verse 3, who heals all your diseases. You know, kind of reluctant to use that verse because you can't reconcile the fact that some people do suffer illness. And sometimes the outcome is their passing. But I think we can see a few things out of here. All healing is divine healing, and all recovery from sickness, injury, and surgery is the result of the healing process that God has put within each and every one of us. When we cut ourselves, we don't stay with a cut for life. If you cut a dress, a shirt, or a pair of pants, you know, you have to sew it together, and that thread has to stay there. God has given us some healing powers to heal ourselves. The guy, and it doesn't say it heals everyone's diseases, but he heals all diseases. There's no disease or illness on this earth that God cannot heal. He may not heal it in some cases, but there is nothing that is above His power. And the main truth that you learn from that is, bless the Lord, O my soul, He says, who heals all your diseases. You know, the most important disease that we have out there is selfishness and pride and those kind of things. And that's what God can heal us from, especially. You know, sometimes our healing comes with going to be with God. The diseases of the soul emanate from the virus of sin. Not that you go out and sin and you catch cold or anything like that. But that sin introduced into the world introduced all kind of problems. Jesus identified it in Matthew 15, 19, and 20. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. That's what makes a man unclean. That's what introduces all these bad things out here. Separates us from God. Also, His loving compassion. Verse 4 says, crowns you with love and compassion. Now, a man in a meeting once rose up to give the following testimony. I got off at the Pennsylvania Depot one day as a tramp. For a year, I begged in the streets for a living. One day, I touched a man on the shoulder and said, Mister, please give me some money so that I can have something to eat. As soon as I saw his face, I recognized him as my father. Father, then, don't you know me? I asked. Throwing his arms around me, he cried, I found you, I found you. All I have is yours. Thinking of it, that I, a tramp, stood begging my father for a few cents, when for 18 years he was looking for me to give me all that he was worth. How similar it is to God, and how much it's like the prodigal son story, of how God waits out there and wants us to come back to Him, how He longs for the world to come to Him so that like a hen He can hide them underneath his wings and shelter them from the cruelties of this world if they'll step there. Also, renewal. God gives us renewal. Verse 5, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, that reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, there's a great paradox here. We're satisfied, but we're never satisfied. Now, you can make the best apple pie in the world, and you can always eat some, and you'll be satisfied for a little while. But you know what? After a little while, you want some more of that apple pie, and again and again. So we're filled with righteousness, and we want more and more, because it is sweet. When we realize how sweet God's righteousness is, we want it more and more in our lives. It says that in verse 5 there that it renews your youth like an eagle. Now, an eagle is a bird that's very powerful, very strong. So David is saying here that it renews your strength. that you're renewed again, your keen eyesight. You're renewed to your vigor, just like this bird. All within us can be renewed through God. God can help us and give us everything we need in this life. And I know it's tough. I know we know people, and some of us are going through some very tough times. Especially if you have an illness. Especially if it's incurable. Your only hope in that case, short of God healing you, is at home in heaven, where you'll never be sick again. You'll never want again. You'll never thirst. Even today, there's a lot we can be thankful for if we want to look for them. Don't focus on the problems. Deal with them as best you can to get out of them. But focus on God, and He'll get us through our problems. I hope this Thanksgiving Day, that no matter what the situation is, that you can come up with 5 things that you can be thankful for in the name of God. I don't know what your condition is this morning or what your needs may be, but once you come, as we stand and sing the song of invitation.